Kenny, one of the things I just enjoyed in our little walk around your vineyards a few minutes ago was meeting some of your crew and noticing they seem to be pruning off in preparation for the harvest. Why are they pruning off so many grapes?
Well, that's a great question. And I had a group of winemakers here for lunch last week. And one of the questions I asked the winemakers, because we do have to balance out the cost of growing great grapes with the price that we can get in the bottle. And I said, you know, what is the most important thing, the most cost-effective thing that we can do, that we've learned to do in the last few years in the vineyards that we weren't doing prior to that? And it was unanimous. Everybody agreed that it's the number of passes that you make through the vineyard selecting out the best clusters of grapes, because they don't all ripen at the same time. Whereas this time of year, which is veraison, when the grapes are changing color, you can see that some of the grapes are more advanced than others, but at harvest time, they'll all be black. You can't really tell the difference. So now's the time that you're going to pull off the clusters that are less ripe. So what our crew is doing is they're only selecting out the best grape clusters that are going to remain, so that when we harvest in 3 or 4 weeks, only fabulous quality, evenly ripened grapes are going to be out there. I think the other thing that that makes us unique, that we're really focusing on, is we do all of our own work. Is in days past, even here, we would have crews of vineyard workers come in, and they would come in and do an operation in our vineyard, then they'd move on to the next, and so on. And we were getting good quality, but what we realized is that focusing on the details is what getting great quality is all about, as opposed to good quality. And you can only do that if you have your own crew who's out there all the time, you know, really taking a vine-by-vine approach. And even though our vine population is, we have, I think, 45 or 46,000 vines in our vineyard, is that they really know the individual blocks. We've broken things down into such microscopically small blocks that we can really focus on the details and pull better quality out of individual areas of the vineyard.
All right, Kenny, well, I have to be honest, we've heard so much about your wine, I'm not sure I can go any further without tasting a little bit of that. How about we crack open a couple of those bottles and get into it?
We're going to taste our 2003 releases, so we have two wines. We have our 2003 Cabernet and 2003 Syrah.
Excellent. Cheers.
Cheers, Hal.
We'll start off with Cabernet. Thank you so much. What a thrill. Wow, Kenny. Another beautiful vintage. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So you educated us all a little bit on aromatics, so let's start there. What do we smell here, Kenny, in the glass?
Well, first of all, tell me what you smell in the glass.
I smell some blackberries, a little bit like a rose petal, maybe a tiny bit of licorice.
Yeah, I pick up all of those things. I get a little bit of mint. The main thing that I get out of this wine at this point is, you know, it's very young. You get these wonderful aromatics. I mean, it's a very floral wine. It's what I think of as perfumey without... perfumey in that it has a lot of very sort of forward aromatics. So as you swirl it around in the glass, you get a lot out of it. Very hard to describe what's in there. Lots of black fruits, mint. I get some minerality. How about the flavors, Hal? What do you pick up?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, it's a really, really well-constructed wine. It's not the most romantic way to describe a wine, but in my book, it's the first thing I'm looking for is complexity of fruit that all fits together in one seamless experience. That's what I love about this wine. It's got some plush tannins that tell me it's going to age well. For me, it's funny, I've had the luxury of tasting all of your vintages upon release. To me, this one seems like perhaps the most age-worthy out of the gates. So I'm really excited about this wine for you and for our Wine Insiders listeners.
Yeah, I think I agree with that as far as the ageability, because it has a beautiful structure to it. And what I mean by structure is that it has the balance of ripe tannins with lots of beautiful fruit and acidity. It has all of the elements that you look for. And it's delicious, I think, now, but will be much more harmonious with 2 or 3 years of age. And that's what you look for when you're aging a wine, is you're looking for all of those components to really sort of marry together and become more interesting. And I think that this wine has everything that will come together even more beautifully over two or three more years.
Yeah, it's interesting because in the front of the palate, you get some beautiful fresh strawberry flavors that you don't see very often in Cabernet. It's really more associated with Pinot Noir, in my opinion. And then we get some nice dry blueberry on the finish. It's an exquisite experience.
You know, interestingly that you say Pinot Noir because many years ago, now we don't give our wine to reviewers, but other people do. And we had sold grapes to another winery who vineyard designated Blue Rock Cab, and Robert Parker reviewed it, gave it a very high score, and he says it's the Pinot Noir of Cabernet.
Excellent. Why do you not submit your wines to critics, Kenny?
Well, I guess there are a number of reasons. One is that we sell everything pretty much on release. It is allocated, so I guess we don't need to. But I think there's a downside to submitting wine to critics. First of all, if you get a great review, then all of a sudden people come out of the woodwork who really haven't been loyal customers all the way along, and they want to buy that particular vintage. And so our regular customers are unable to get the wine. That extra demand normally pushes up the price. I guess the other thing is that I want to produce wines that I love and that I enjoy that are in a style that I appreciate. And you get caught in a trap of wanting to please the critics so that the next year you get your 92 or 93 point rating. And the critics, you know, when they're tasting 100 wines a day, seem to tend to favor the really big, heavy wines that do well when you taste one sip, but, you know, may not do as well when you're having a whole bottle with dinner. So I would rather just follow our own path as long as we can and be the discovery and be a word of mouth wine as we are today.
So you mentioned a bottle with dinner, Kenny. What are some of your favorite Blue Rock food pairings?
Well, I have to say that the dinner that I'm making for us today is going to be duck legs. That's my son's favorite. And it's in a sauce of Blue Rock Cabernet and Blue Rock Malbec with blackberries. California blackberries are just now in season, so that should be a wonderful combination. Obviously, these are big reds. They're elegant wines, but they are still powerful, especially as young wines. So you need to have something that will hold up to them. So with the Cabernet, grilled lamb is a great combination. Of course, a steak. With the Syrah, interestingly enough, because it has spice and it has chocolate in it, mole, a Mexican favorite of mine, you know, it's a sauce that's made with peppers and chocolate, is incredibly delicious with Syrah. And also at the Family Winemakers tasting last week, I was pouring our Syrah and would give people a little treat. I gave them some Scharfenberger bittersweet chocolate. I said, here, take just a little piece of this and then take some Syrah with it and see what you think of that as a pairing. And it's just absolutely fabulous. It's one of those magical things that really works.
Well, my mouth's watering, so let's taste this Syrah so we can get to lunch quicker.
I'm with you on that.
Cheers to your new Syrah. And what is the Syrah production compared to the Cabernet production?
Cabernet production is about 600 cases this year. The Syrah production is right around 400. The Syrah production, it comes from one small steep vineyard that we just walked through behind the house. So steep, in fact, that on the upper slopes we can't even get a tractor up there. It's all handwork. And that's limited because it's 1 2.5 acre vineyard, so we'll never get more than maybe 400 cases out of it. The Cabernet, on the other hand, the production could grow over time as we get more and more wine off of contracts with other wineries and start having the grapes available for Blue Rock.
Okay, great.
So in tasting the Syrah and contrasting it, it's interesting to taste it right after the Cabernet because then you really, on the one hand, is that you can sort of tell the spirit that goes into both wines. Mm-hmm. Isn't that there is a similarity coming from the same vineyard, from the same winemaking team, the same type of barrels. On the other hand, the varietal is so different. And what I'm getting out of the Syrah, it's much more approachable than the Cab. So while it has pretty big tannins as well, they're even softer than the tannins in the Cab. It has a more silky mouthfeel than the Cabernet at this point in time. It has its own flavor profile, which goes towards, I guess, the earthy, what I think of as sort of animal characteristics. You know, it has that real Syrah character that you expect to get.
It's a gamey wine.
It's a gamey wine, but with nothing over the top.
Mm. It's beautiful spices I enjoy, some subtle fruit that I think is going to really blossom in the next few
years as it ages a little bit. It's a really nice wine.
I think that the consumer, especially the Cabernet consumer, is just starting to discover Syrah. They're experimenting a little bit, I think in part because of Sideways. You know, the movie gave everybody the inspiration to try something different. And so people are experimenting with Syrah and really liking it. I've not really noticed a shift in the buying patterns of many of our customers. At first it was just cab, cab, cab. And now we're selling, you know, locally at least, about as much Syrah as we are cab.
Kenny, one consistent comment we get in addition to how much our clients love your wines is how much they love your bottles. So tell us a little bit about how in the world did you come up with this specific bottle design that is you know, very, very attractive. We can encourage you to go on thewineinsiders.com after this interview and look at Kenny's bottles.
Well, thank you. I mean, that is a compliment that I appreciate. And we hear a lot how much people like the packaging, especially women seem to really like the packaging. I've had women, you know, write me from all over the country saying, I bought your wine, you know, I didn't know anything about it, but I saw it on the shelf and I thought it was beautiful, so I bought it. And thank goodness the wine was as good as the packaging. So
that's some pressure.
Well, we hired a great package designer, Jeffrey Caldaway, who has had a book now about wine labels. And he is just a fabulous talent. And so we hired Jeffrey, and he went off to design a Blue Rock label, came to our house to present it to us. And when he made the presentation, I didn't know what to say because it was like a jaw dropper in that I just didn't like it. It looked too much like a wine label. And I didn't know how to say it, but I just did. I said, you know, I don't like it. We got to go back and try again. And the great thing about Jeffrey, he says, you know, I'll try as many times as it takes because I want to get what you want. He's just great to work with. And I said, Jeffrey, look, you've been to too many wine shops. Meet me at Neiman Marcus at the perfume counter. And he met me, we went out to lunch, went to the Neiman Marcus perfume counter, and I said, you know, this is the kind of packaging that I like. Because the wines that we make are really elegant. They are, perfume is really important in what we're trying to do. Elegance is important in what we're trying to do. Pleasing women is always important to us. So I said,
at least
your
wife, it sounds like.
This is the, oh, well, my wife is certainly, she is my biggest inspiration. So, and Jeffrey really got it. So he came back the next day, and he had Blue Rock, and he had it down, and we loved it. And we've had that package ever since.
That's a great story. Well, Kenny, all this talk about this duck you've been promising is making me hungry. So why don't we transition over there? But thank you so much for your time. And what a thrill it is to taste your new wines. And again, congratulations on the new vintage.
Well, thank you, Hal. It was just a lot of fun doing this interview. And let's go have lunch.
Thanks for joining us today. Log on to thewineinsiders.com and sign up for our Insiders Only newsletter.